You have your Bibles with you, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Also inside the bulletin, you'll have some message notes in there you can pull out, and I tried to include as many verses as possible in this chapter, but we left out some portions in that just to track through where we're going today. Also, you may notice that there are two sets of message notes inside your bulletin, and that's because of me. And Sonia had a couple days off this week in the office, and when I printed, I didn't think when I print, it'll be double of what I print with two-sided, because I'm not that smart. And so you have twice as amount of message notes is what I'm saying, which means you can share with a friend nearby if they don't have a bulletin. But you have some message notes if you want to follow along there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're looking at the church is, and over the course of these weeks, we're filling in the blank, the church is what? We've already looked at the fact that the church is Jesus' church. It belongs to Him. It's centered on Him. The church is vital to Jesus' mission. He created it that way. He empowers it to be about His mission. The church is loved by Christ. The church is a people of humility. We looked at that last week, how we're called a flock, which anytime you're called a sheep, that's a pretty humbling thing. And so the church is formed by being a people of humility. This week, we're continuing to fill in that blank, and we're looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to start towards the end of that passage, and we're going to work through the passage here today. But I first want us to look at verse 27 in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. So I think it's obvious what we're filling in that blank with this week. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. If you've been in church very long, you're probably very familiar with that terminology, that picture, that language that the Bible uses to describe the church, being the body of Christ. But let's look at that this morning and really think about what Paul is saying, what God is saying through Paul as he writes these scriptures. One of the things that we'll notice in this passage of scripture, in this chapter 12, is that the passage is really focused on the church being one body with many parts. Throughout this chapter, it's repeated that the body is described in terms of its unity, and it's also described in terms of its diversity. And that it's actually essential that it is diverse in order for it to be existing as a unit, to be in unity. The church is the body of Christ. And let's look at what that means. The first thing I think that's important for us to know is this. To be the body, the body shares a common experience. The body shares a common experience. Let's look at that in verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and keep in mind here, Paul hasn't even laid it out for them yet that you are the body of Christ. He's using this body analogy, speaking of the human body. Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. So there it is in the first part of verse 12, unity, and then diversity, and then diversity, and then unity. So it is with Christ. Verse 13, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. What Paul is doing here is significant because he's using probably the largest divisions of people that exist, because he's saying Jews or Greeks. He's saying no matter what your religious background might have been, Jews or Greeks, and then he says, slaves are free. No matter what your social background might have been, if you have confessed Christ, if you have become new in Christ, then what has happened is you have been baptized into the body by the Holy Spirit. You have been, we have all been made to drink of one spirit. There's this common experience of every member of the body, and that common experience is life in the Spirit. It is life in the Holy Spirit. For Paul, throughout the New Testament, when he writes, you can see that the distinguishing mark of a Christian is that the Christian has the Holy Spirit in his or her life. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so the unity of Christians is that they share the same Holy Spirit of God. They have received the Holy Spirit, so they have been cleansed by the Spirit. They have been filled by the Spirit, and so they walk in step with the Spirit of God. That the Christian's life is distinguished and marked by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the presence of the Holy Spirit brings, I'll point out these two things that we see in this context. It brings a Christian confession. The fact that you can say Jesus is Lord and mean it from your heart is a work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings you to confess Jesus as Lord of your life. The Holy Spirit not only brings a confession, the Holy Spirit shapes your character, the way that you live, the way that you live for others. And so this is important for us to understand, because a person does not become a part of the church. A person does not become a part of the body by attending. A person does not become a part of the church or the body by giving. A person does not become a part of the church or the body by family association. A person becomes a part of the church, the body, by the work of the Holy Spirit in his or her life, making that person, a new creation. It's by being changed, by being made new, by being given a new heart, by receiving the forgiveness of sins and a new relationship with God through Jesus Christ that makes a person a part of the body. And that is the solution to our sin problem. That is the solution to the sin problem. That is the solution to evil. It takes nothing less than heart change. We live in a broken world. And it takes the Spirit of God making us new people to make a difference and to be a part of the body of Christ. Here's what I want you to be aware of today. No matter how familiar you are, maybe with the church, unless your heart is made new, you're not a part of the church. That we all need to come into a realization of a righteous and holy God and how we fall short of a righteous and holy God and need His grace, the blood of Jesus Christ, to forgive our sins and to make us new. That's the common experience, the life in the Spirit that makes us a part of the body. The body shares a common experience in Christ. Secondly, what we see in 1 Corinthians 12 is that the body is diverse. Now, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, I want you to hear what I just said about the Spirit making you new. That is what God invites us to. Because a lot of what I'm going to say today really applies to Christians. And God works through His Word, perhaps, if you're not a Christian, to draw you in to the body, to draw you into a knowledge of Him. But secondly, what we see is in this passage is clearly that the body is diverse. And diversity is such an important part of the body that from what we see here with what is written in 1 Corinthians 12 is that the body is only a properly functioning body when it is composed of diverse members. It only works when there is diversity. And the body is only unified if there's diversity. You realize that? The body is only truly a functioning unit if there is diversity. Right? I mean, think of the human body. It would make no sense if everything was a thumb, would it? I mean, what makes a human body so unique and so wonderful is the wonderful diversity in the human body. Look at verse 4 and the diversity that Paul speaks of. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit. And then he goes on and he lists different gifts there, including wisdom and knowledge. And he goes on in verses 8 through 10 and talks about the distinct gifts. What I want us to pay attention to right here is that the body is not the body because of the function of one of its parts. The body is the body because of the function of all of its parts. If you've ever enjoyed working out, bodybuilding, you'll know this. You can't just work out one muscle, right? I mean, you could just you could just kill it on one muscle, and then the rest of your body is going to be weak and out of proportion with that one, right? A bodybuilder works on multiple muscles. Sometimes we have such a limited view of the church that we think, well, these are the important gifts, or these are the important people that kind of really make up the church. And as a result, the church becomes less and less of a functioning body. It becomes less diverse, and because it's less diverse, it's limited in its function. If you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then you are an important part of the body. You are an essential part of the church. God designed it that way. God composed it that way. He arranged it that way. And He gifted you in that way. He gifted you. Look at verse 11. All these, he mentions the gifts in verses 8 through 10. Then he says, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills. It is none other than the Holy Spirit of God that is working in and through you. It's not your talents. It's not your knowledge. It's not your ability. It's God the Holy Spirit working in and through you. The Spirit of God gives to each one as He wills. He emphasizes this again in verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. This is God's magnificent design. It's His plan. And you are placed in the body. You are placed in the church by God. You're placed in the body as God chose to place you. We love choice in America, don't we? Right? We're going to choose everything down to the, you know, fine part of what it is, of what we prefer. God chooses you for the church. We think, well, I'm going to choose it, the church. No, God chooses you for the church. He places you in the body as a part of the body. God arranges the members of the body. He knows exactly what the body needs, and He places gifts you and places you there accordingly. And so the question becomes, are you willing to submit to God's design? Are you willing to submit to, are you willing to recognize His plan and His design, what He's doing in your life and how He's doing that to make you a part of the body? That God has placed you among this people that gathers right here to serve. What's that going to mean? Here's what Main Street is about. We're about glorifying God. We're about going with the good news of Jesus Christ. We're about growing together in Christ. We're about giving ourselves to serve. And we want to do this together as God's family, as the body of Christ. God has placed you here to do that. That everything we do would flow out of His purpose for us. If you didn't write this down yet today, write this down right now. March 11th. If you're not a note taker, this can be the only thing you write down today. That's fine. March 11th. Make plans. Be here. Make arrangements. Send the kids. You know, bring the kids. But if the kids got something going on, get an uncle, aunt, cousin, whoever. Hey, can you handle this for me? Be here March 11th. Right now. March 11th is a few weeks off right now. What is preventing me from investing in others? What's preventing me from realizing that the body is diverse and God has made me a part? He's given me people that I can reach, things that I can do to serve. What's preventing me from that, from investing in others in ministry, from using the gifts God has given me for others? The body is diverse. God has designed it that way. The third thing about the body here. Being a member is about being a living member of a living body. Being a member is about being a living member of a living body. Now, this is something that Paul didn't really need to spell out for the Corinthians. But this is something I think, because of the culture we live in, we need to pay attention to this. To be a member, I want us to think about church membership for a moment, because we often think of church membership in terms of being a part of an organization, right? Because membership, we think, well, you know, I'm a member at the Y. You know, and so I pay my dues and I have my card and I check in and I check out as I want to. We think of membership in terms of club or organization. Okay, there's organization to the church, but the church isn't essentially an organization. The church is an organism more than it is an organization. There's organization to the church, but the church is a living body, right? And so think of membership not in terms of like club membership. Think of membership as members of the body, as parts of the body, right? Parts of the human body. Again, we come back to verse 27. When Paul kind of gives him the punch after he's used this analogy, he says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Being a member of the church, being a member of a church, is about being a living member of a functioning, living body. That means everything that you do affects the body, and everything that you do not do affects the body. As a part of the body, you are linked to part of an actual body, okay? So when we understand the church, there are a couple of terms that sometimes we use to talk about the church. We talk about the universal church and the local church, okay? The universal church would mean this, that as I mentioned earlier on when I began with a common experience, once someone is saved by Jesus Christ, that person is connected to all believers everywhere, right? So we share brothers and sisters in Christ that we've never met that are around the globe in different places. Sometimes you'll get a sense of this when their language barrier is broken and you hear someone's testimony and you're like, they know the same Savior I do. They live on a different side of the world in a different time zone with a different language and a different culture, but they have met Jesus Christ, right? And so there's that shared part of brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. That's true about the church. But that way of looking at the church, that term is rarely used that way in the New Testament. Most of the time when the idea of church is addressed or used, it's talking about not the universal church, but the local church. A local gathering of believers that are part of each other. They worship together, they serve together, they pray together, they handle life issues together. Because of our culture and our context right here today, I think one of the dangerous things we can face is we can say, well, I'm a part of the church, but I'm never part of a church. Right? I'm part of the church, but I'm never part of a church. You see, it's clear in the New Testament, every Christian was a part of a church. They were part of a local gathering, participating in that. Today, we have great tools. Sometimes they're great. It depends on what they are. There's messages online, and you can hear pastors preach much better than what you can hear here on Sunday morning online. You can have the Bible, you know, app on your phone, which I have, and I love that. And you can talk to other Christians on social media, but you can do all that and never have real connection or real accountability or real serving. We have to rethink what it means to be the church, especially today. Our world needs the church to be the body of Christ. We have to rethink what it means to be a member, that I'm a living member of a living organism. And this has some real practical applications to our life today. Because if we are the body in this way, it will mean that there is no isolation in the body. I won't pretend to be able to solve our country's problems today. You see it, you hear it and see it just as I do, the discussions, the debates, the opinions. But I will say this, the church as the body addresses isolation, that no one is to be isolated. Right? What happens when someone's isolated, when someone's disconnected? When someone lives their life without care, without accountability, without relationships, right? It doesn't mean that you're going to become a mass murderer if you live that way. That's not going to happen to everyone. But it does mean you're living at risk if you live without care, without accountability, without relationships. And you're prone to sins that will overtake you. You're prone to being disconnected and kind of living just your own way. God has so designed the body to be together, so people aren't isolated, so there's love and care, and so that the church would be a loving community for the unlovables of society to reach. That there would be no isolation in the body, and that there would be no stagnation in the body. No isolation, no stagnation. Something happened to me over the last couple of weeks. Every day, just recently, the last couple of weeks, I noticed how tired I was in the afternoon. And I was like, why am I just so tired? And of course, I'm like, age? You know, maybe that's part of it. You know, I'm just getting older. But I'm not a real big nap person. If I do get a nap, I like to be a real short one. But I was to the point where later in the afternoon, coming home, I'd be like, maybe I just need a nap. Let's try to take a nap. I had a meeting or something that night and wanted to be ready, and so try to get a nap in. I take naps. I'm still tired. Okay, if nap doesn't work, what's going to work? Coffee, right? Drink more coffee. I drink more coffee. I was still tired. And what I noticed as I looked at my daily practice and my routine, I was so tired, and I was getting no physical exercise. No physical exercise. Came home one day, it's like, I'm getting on the treadmill. Just make it happen. I've said before, and you know this, I like to run, but I'm a very fair weather runner. I like to run when the weather's nice. When it's like it has been, I don't. And so I came home and got on the treadmill. Suddenly, what happened? I was awake. I was awake that evening. I was awake the next day. Carried on another day or so, right? I was more alert. I was more in tune. I was more aware. I was more active. It's a great danger in the church is that if I get in the routine of the church and I can kind of become really inactive as a part of the church. If you're not exercising your faith muscles, you're going to find out that your faith will soon be asleep. You'll soon be tired. You might even get cranky. See, the body metaphor doesn't allow for that. There's no stagnation in the body. There's no just being still in the body. Maybe we get set in a routine which makes the church become lulled into a tired sleep instead of being a living, active function, a light to each other and to our world. Am I actively contributing and exercising as part of the body? Or am I dead weight? Am I actively contributing to the body, to being a living member of a living body? So Paul moves on. In this passage, he stresses diversity and the necessity of diversity. He goes on into this in verse 28. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts or the greater gifts. In that context and in that passage, I believe what Paul is stressing when he says the higher gifts, because the Corinthians would be prone to saying, well, these gifts are better and they receive the attention and then these are lesser. But Paul's saying the higher gifts are the gifts that build up the body of Christ. But if you look at the whole the chapters before it and after it, in 1 Corinthians 12, you're going to see Paul's making a case. Hey, what really matters in the body is when you make a difference in someone's life and you serve them and you do something that builds them up, that edifies them. He's in no way saying that some are more important than others, because that would be betraying his whole argument. He's saying the greater gifts are those that serve and build up the body. And there's a diverse way of doing that. The church is not one size fits all. The church needs functioning members to be an active body. I jotted down a few things here that you'll hear more about in coming weeks, but ministries that happen that are essential to the church being the church, a simple ministry that is so effective, but greeters. Like, you know, we have faithful greeters, people that just have smiling, welcoming faces as someone comes in the door and acknowledges people. That's an important part of a person coming to a church the first time, being warmly welcomed. Some might have a gift of teaching, of studying and studying God's word and applying it and sharing that with others. Some might have real skills at maintaining things in the church. Our trustees do a great work of that, and they're always looking for other people to help out. I know one of the things I think one trustee mentioned to me earlier is someone who might be good at working with like electrician type things. If you have that skill, see me and I'll point you in the direction. Or see Jack Shreve, who's the chair of our trustee, or another trustee that you know. Maybe you're a good cook. You may not realize the meals that are provided here for families in times of need, or families that while they're grieving, that just different things that help out. Maybe you are gifted at working with children, or you'd like to learn about children's ministry. I want you to know we take that seriously, and we just don't want to throw anyone into children's ministry. We want to give our children a safe, secure, loving environment to know the word and to know God. Student ministry, music ministry, you know, connect, you know, if you have a musical talent, connect with Maggie, our worship leader, and find out how, you know, you might be able to plug in and use that gift God's given. Concern for our neighborhood, that we get outside, this isn't all about being inside, getting outside the walls of our church and connecting with our neighborhood and meeting needs, things like the Easter egg hunt, but there are other ideas that may be out there, things that we can do. Caring for people, visiting, just all so many things. You see, the church is diverse, and God has really blessed and gifted this church with people as a part of these ministries. What passion has He given you? What opportunity has He given you to use those gifts, to be a functioning member of a functioning body? And Paul closes the chapter with these words that lead into what's next. He says, "And I will show you still a more excellent way." And I will show you a still more excellent way. If you want some homework today, besides thinking about how God's placed you here, read chapter 13 and see the more excellent way that God has given. Chapter 13, I'll give you a hint. It's something that is often read at weddings, and it certainly applies to marriages, but that's not why it's written. It's written for the church. It's all about what love is. And Paul's not saying forget gifts, just love each other. What he's saying is love is the context of giftedness. He's not saying giftedness isn't important. He's saying here's how it works. It's with love. No matter what you're gifted to do, it's always with the love of Christ. God has made the body this way, and He has placed you in it. I want you to know this. What makes the body alive is that Christ is risen. What makes the body alive and functioning is what we sang today and worshiped and proclaimed today. It's because He lives. We live. If you are ever in a sense of lifelessness or isolation, life is connected to Christ, what He's done for you on the cross. And because He was raised from the dead, so the church is raised to live. Will you stand with me today? Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this magnificent design, this diverse body that you have formed us to be right here today. Help us to understand how you've placed us, arranged us, and Lord, give us life to faithfully be the body. Lord, those here today that don't know that life, may your Holy Spirit make them new, where they know your love, forgiveness, and grace that's found in you, Jesus Christ, your death, burial, and resurrection. Breathe life into us. Thank you for the way you have gifted this church. Thank you for this people and for this day and time we have to be the body of Christ. May we submit to your design and find great joy in living according to you. It's in your name we pray, dear Jesus. Amen.